Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Charles Skillis, who has written a book called Defeat the Enemy Within, Free Yourself of Inner Shadows That Sabotage and Cripple Your Life. Dr. Skillis is here in town with me in Atlanta, and he writes for Oracle and Aquarius on occasion, and I've been reading his articles for a long time. But I had no idea that he had such an exciting life until I read Defeat the Enemy Within. Welcome, Dr. Skillis.
Welcome, and thank you for that nice introduction, Dr. Kolb.
So, this is a life story, and like many of us who are healers, you had to go through the archetype of the wounded healer in order to discover that which would make you well and then turn around and help other people. I had a similar experience when I was guided in meditation to get Dow Corning silicone gel breast implants, and then one of them leaked 8 years later. They both leaked, but one leaked a lot more, so all the symptoms were on one side. And I figured it out. I figured out a disease that wasn't supposed to exist, just like you figured out a disease that wasn't supposed to exist, in at least in the modern materialistic world, it wasn't supposed to exist. And then we sort of became the experts in treating a disease.
Right, except that you can treat diseases and I can't, because you're a
right, that's true.
I'm a clinical hypnotherapist.
Right. But you can still work with the body's energy.
Yes, that's what I do. I clear layers of consciousness of energy that's causing problems.
Right. Well, for our listening audience, if you'd just like to give a little bit of your background and how you played out the wounded healer scenario and got to the root of your problems, that would be beneficial.
Okay, I'll be very glad to do that. My PhD is in engineering, and I have an MBA, and my last job in corporate America was as vice president of Spartan Corporation. And I went to Spartan from a company in New England that was doing electronic warfare. And before that, I was with the Navy, working for the Navy directly. As a matter of fact, I worked for Dr. Werner von Braun and Dr. Willy Fiedler, who came over after the Second World War from Germany and ended up creating the Apollo program.
Right.
But I got sick, and I was running this company. I was vice president of it, and I came in there when they were doing $10 million a year and losing two. And I was there for a total of 13 years. And when I left, they were doing $500 million and making $20 million. So
right.
I was successful with the company. But I had to quit because I was feeling so badly. And most of my problems were in my mind. I was physically healthy, but I was mentally and emotionally a mess. And I was having panic attacks 4 and 5 times a day. I was going in and out of the hospital, taking all kinds of psychotropic drugs, including MAO inhibitors. And finally decided I couldn't any longer maintain that position. I had 3,600 people working for me, and I had to brief admirals and congressmen and Vice President of the United States and those kind of people on anti-submarine warfare, because this was all this work that I did in the defense business was during the Cold War, and I became kind of a leading expert in the area of anti-submarine warfare, submarine torpedo defense, electronic warfare, and mine countermeasures. And then I became a consultant to that for the Navy and then for private contractors. Mm-hmm. And but I still was sick all the time. Right. And I finally gave up on my poor doctors who worked so hard for me to help me out. But I was ending up going into the hospital, getting off of the drugs that they were giving me, because I'd get addicted to them and I'd develop a tolerance to them and I was having panic attacks 4 or 5 times a day. But the real bad ones where you think you're going to die. And I would get off of them for a while, and then I'd be back on the drugs. Anyway, mm-hmm. I had to find something that was going to give me a chance to keep living. And I looked at all kinds of alternative healing techniques because I was mm-hmm. unsuccessful with allopathic medicine and with psychiatry and psychology and counselors and massage therapists and all of the different healing modalities that are out there. They all help me some, and I don't disparage them at all because I think anyone that does healing work at all is good because they help people with problems. But I had this crazy thing inside of me that this terrible fear, and I still have some of that, but I've learned how to deal with it. And I found hypnotherapy amongst all of the other modalities, including Christian Science that I tried, and it offered some hope for me, even though it didn't work the way it was generally done by hypnotherapists. And so I really had to create a new technology using hypnotherapy for the resolution of the kind of problems that I had. And I did that, and I had to work with not only hypnotherapists to learn how to do this. It took me about 17 years to finally develop this technology. But I worked with shamans in the Native American communities, the Cherokee and the Lakota Sioux and the Hopi. And I am a shaman, as a matter of fact, for the Nemenha band of the Lakota Sioux. I worked with witch doctors and medicine men, as well as hypnotherapists and medical doctors and psychiatrists and homeopathists and anybody that I could learn anything from. And I put this all together into a package which I now use and have been teaching for a number of years to my students. And people seem to benefit from it. It's an alternative technology, or technique, uh-huh. actually, for healing, but it's very different than allopathic medicine and psychiatry and those modalities, because we can't really treat any condition. We're not licensed medical doctors like you are, Dr. Kolb. And we're not allowed to heal. We're not allowed to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. But what I do is I determined that the problems that we had in our lives came from energies that got into our subconscious. Right. And what I did is I created a new technology based upon the oldest model of healing on the planet, which says that all disease, all problems, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, is caused by improper functioning of the cells of the body. And what I finally found out was that the biggest aspect of that was the reduction in the flow of life force energy to the cell communities of the body. And mm-hmm. by the process of regeneration, the cells, because they clone themselves, if they're perfect, they clone perfect cells. If they're imperfect, they clone imperfect cells. And over periods of time, if the cells aren't getting the chi they need, which is the life force energy, they begin to degenerate. And finally, they get to the point where they've degenerated so much they begin to malfunction. And they ultimately then will die. And you'll die, too, because you need, for instance, a liver to live, you know. So that's the approach I use. And what I do is I determine what it was that was cutting off the flow of life force energy to the cell communities of the body, and I found techniques that allowed me to get rid of that, to find that energy first, and then get rid of it. And that same energy that causes the reduction in the flow of chi to the cell communities is the same energy that installs and supports negative programs on the subconscious hard drive. Because you see, the subconscious is really an analog parallel processing super biocomputer, and it has a virtual hard drive. And the integrated summation of all the programs that are on that hard drive determine how you behave, how you feel, how you react to life, and who you are at the moment. So you got to change those programs. Typical hypnotherapy simply hypnotizes you, which is simply a tool to get into the subconscious, and they go right over to that hard drive and they stick a new program on it. Well, if the old program is supported by negative energy, then that new program just evaporates, and you're lucky if it lasts a week. So I tried it for a long time, and I didn't get any success with it. But if you can find the source of the energy that's in the subconscious that's causing these problems, you can develop techniques, and I did, to get rid of them. And I developed some of them, and some of them I learned from other people. As I said, I studied with hypnotherapists, with witch doctors, with medicine men, with shamans, with allopathic physicians, with psychiatrists, anybody that I could learn from, and we determined that the things that block the flow of chi I call them negative forcing functions in the subconscious self. And that, by the way, that's a term that comes from the world of mathematics. And I constructed this technology as an engineer rather as a medical person, because I'm not a medical person. I wasn't even a hypnotherapist, although I learned how to hypnotize people. But what I determined finally through research and reading and talking to all these people was that there were five main negative forcing functions, and these all cause a distortion in the body's energy field, and that's what cuts the flow of chi to the cell communities of the body, and that's kind of the start of the downward process. And these are simply bad things that happen to you in this lifetime, past lifetimes, unresolved in, internal conflicts, most of which you're totally unconscious of, biological carryovers from your ancestors, which is the genetic thing, and the attachment of foreign energies. And this is a controversial thing, but it's very important, because until I began to use that, I did all of the standard kind of hypnotherapy things, including regression therapies, past life regression therapies, for instance, and the results were mediocre, to say at the best. So, but when I started getting rid of the energies that were attached to the people, then I was able to get them to feel much better. And because these energies are distributed over usually distributed over a number of layers of consciousness. Mm-hmm. You have to clear all those layers, and then you can reprogram the subconscious self, and you can repair the cell damage that's been caused by the negative energy that's been in there, and that restores the flow of life force energy to the cell communities of the body, and people started getting well, even though I'm not allowed to do that. And
I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me in the emergency room. I covered six ERs for many years, and I got called in because somebody slashed her wrist, a woman slashed her wrist, and she was very spiritual. She believed in reincarnation. She had never been depressed, but after she took a Medrol dose pack for poison ivy, and we know that high steroid can decrease the barriers between the dimensions, she had an overwhelming urge to kill herself, so she slashed her wrist. And
wow.
After I repaired her wrist, I went up because I was guided to go up, and I had to talk to the entity that was trying to get her to kill herself. It was a male who wanted her company. He just wanted her to kill himself and then join him in the fourth dimension. And I explained to him he did not have a right to do that. And, of course, when I visited her again, she was in the psychiatric unit, and she said to me, "You're the only doctor that understands that I'm really not depressed."
That's so wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? So, you know, these energies aren't just like they can give you aches and pains, make you feel tired and make your life miserable, but they can also cause you to kill yourself.
Yes,
so,
they can.
They're not just troublesome. They're very troublesome.
Yeah.
Dose packs, you know, be careful of steroids, especially if you're highly spiritual, highly sensitive.
Right. It's really interesting. These energies can get onto you if your psychic defense system is down. It's like
right.
a psychic immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this physical immune system that protects us against the invasion of pathogens and
right.
and you know microbes and viruses and those kind of things, and we also have this psychic defense system. And it, by the way, the Chinese knew about this. They call it the guardian qi.
Right.
And
yeah.
these energies that get into us if any
down,
of those immune
right.
those
it's
immune
true.
Systems down. The same
and
thing.
And also, if you're up all night, I'd stay up all night and be tired, and I'd be in the hospital. And
yeah.
when a spirit attaches to you, you feel it. I feel it right behind my neck on the right.
Really?
And it feels like somebody's just there. It's very interesting. Sometimes I feel it in surgery if the person is like looking at what I'm doing, and I tell them to get back because it's uncomfortable, you know. And then sometimes I ask them, "Did you watch me doing your surgery?" And they said, "Yes." I operate on some very interesting clairvoyants who are able to remember stuff. But anyway, the energies that attach in the hospital were usually people who were unconscious from car accidents and didn't know they were dead. And then we have to explain to them that they don't know they're dead.
Earthbound spirits that have been attached to people that I had
yeah.
to bring them back to their death to convince them that they were dead.
Yeah, they were knocked out in the car wreck and spent, you know, weeks in the hospital, died later, and they don't remember anything in the hospital. Suddenly they're out of their body. They're usually attracted to bright lights, which I'm probably a little brighter light than some people in the hospital, so they went home with me. And then I would call my spiritual teacher and get help getting them released because, you know, I didn't need to carry that around.
Dr. Kolbe, I'm so impressed that you that you do that because most
yeah,
of the
I've been doing this since the 1990s.
That I've talked to, you know, they poo-poo all this stuff. Although I've had a number of come to me for treatment. And
yeah.
I have to promise that I'll never disclose who they are.
Disclose, yeah. Well, you know, doctors can get attachments. I mean, just because
of course.
Being near energies that want to attach. I mean, they're around more people that die. They're around more people that have attachments that might want to come to them instead of be on the person that they're on.
People that work in the medical profession are particularly susceptible to this kind of thing.
I agree with you. And a lot of times what I do when I teach this stuff is I tell them, it's just like somebody's right behind your head or your neck. It gives you kind of a weird headache. It's not really pain, but it's just uncomfortable. And it's just like somebody's too close to you. You know, like if somebody was right behind you when you were trying to give this interview, you would want them to get away from you. It disturbs your concentration.
Well, it does more than that. When I've been at, I call it psychic attacks. It kind of almost puts me out of commission until I'm able to resolve it. And fortunately, I've taught enough people how to do this over the years that I call on them for help, and I know some.
Right.
Psychic healers that around the country who I call on when I need that kind of thing, and it really helps me a lot.
Yeah, it's important to ask for help when this happens. You're right. When you know you've got something on you, you can't necessarily know that you can handle it yourself, like maybe some other things.
Right.
I agree. I always call for help too. I wanted to ask you a little bit, because it's very, very important for people to understand that the role these entities have in addictions. I think that this is extremely important for people to know. And it may be the reason that addictions are not easily treated.
Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of people with addictions. And one of the most common things that I've found with addictions is an earthbound spirit. That was an addictive person died, and they're now on the person, and they want that person to take the same drug they do, because that's the way they get their jollies that they got before.
Right.
The person does that, and just like even such things as smoking. A lot of times, people who are smoking really heavy, and they never really did it, and they come in and they say, "I don't understand it. I've never been a smoker."
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I developed this need to smoke, and I started smoking, and I can't stop.
Right.
And I find this earthbound spirit attached to them, who was a great smoker in their life, and I get them off. And the urge to smoke goes away.
Goes away, right.
And in another area of obesity, I've found people that who are obese and keep overeating, don't want to do it, and weren't obese all their life, and they have attached to them the earthbound spirit of someone that starved to death in a previous lifetime.
So they're hungry.
And they, that energy is still coming over to them.
Yeah, right.
So they eat.
Or they
get attached by an earthbound spirit of someone who was an overeater. And that energy comes to them.
We can also get attachments from family members or past family members. Like if a family member dies.
Most common attachments are from people within your family. And but I find them from all over on a lot of people. It's a fascinating adjunct to medical science, I think.
Shamans knew about it forever. I mean, the indigenous cultures, this is how they treated illness. They got rid of these spirits and then retrieved soul fragments.
And they still do it.
Right, because it works.
I talk to medicine men and witch doctors and people like that. And that's how they heal people.
It is.
And the people get healed. They take the spirit out and they put it into a pig or an animal or a tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the person gets up and they're well. It's amazing.
And it really strikes me, because I've done some work with cancer, that some cancers have this component, that somebody who died of, say, breast cancer is attached to the woman who has developed breast cancer, and getting off that energy is important for them to get better.
Yeah. Well, I find that earthbound spirit particularly brings the energy of its death and the negative energy that it had in its life.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had a disease, it brings the energy of that disease. It doesn't bring the disease itself, but
mm-hmm.
it brings the energy of it. And a lot of times that ignites in the person to whom they attached the same disease. I have a classic case of a woman who was dying of a young woman, 41 years old, who was dying of congestive heart disease. And the doctors told her that she had 3 months to live.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing that could be done for her, and she should get her affairs in order. And she came to me as a last resort, which most people do. They got no place else to go. Except if they know about you, then they go to you. But because you can cover them under insurance, I can't.
Right.
this woman came to me with congestive heart disease, and she was dying. And I found her grandmother on her, and
mm-hmm.
her grandmother had congestive heart disease and died from it.
Right.
And grandmother didn't go to the light where she was supposed to. Because
yeah.
she wanted to stay here and protect this newborn baby girl who happens
Uh-oh.
To be this woman.
Yeah.
And grandmother got onto her to protect her and brought that energy with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it ignited that in this woman, because congestive heart disease, I understand, is kind of an old person's disease, not
it
a young
is.
Person.
Yeah, it's rare at 41, but if you had the energy since birth, you know.
Yeah. She had the energy from birth.
Yeah.
And anyway, it got so bad that she got it. And
mm-hmm.
she was dying. And I found her grandmother on her, and the grandmother was telling me how much she loved the baby and
mm-hmm.
girl
yeah.
and that she was protecting her. And I told the grandmother, because they speak through the person
mm-hmm.
Under deep trance hypnosis, and she said that when I told her that she brought the energy of her death and the
mm-hmm.
negative energy of her life to her granddaughter, she was just appalled.
Yeah,
and she readily agreed to go to the light.
Go to the light and get cleansed. Well,
right.
that's why we have to go to the light. We have to get rid of all the negative stuff so we don't bring it back with us next time.
Right. Anyway, in 3 weeks that woman was not dead, but she was off her medication.
Yeah, exactly.
And six
it's
months
amazing.
Later, she was mountain climbing.
Well, you know, as an engineer, you studied physics, that everything's energy.
Right.
And if everything's energy and you've got a bad energy, you can treat the symptoms as much as you want, but if you don't remove the energy, the system isn't going to improve in terms of its functioning.
That's right. Dr. Colby, you're fascinating, because I didn't know that you we're into this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I've written a bunch of papers, and I'm writing a book on spiritual medicine.
Uh huh.
So yeah, I've been doing it since 1990, I think, about that long.
I mean, I've been writing articles, but the only place that publishes them is the Oracle and the Aquarius.
Yeah, I read your stuff in the Oracle. I like it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's good.
I do.
And I wrote this book. And it kind of summarizes, you know, how I got into this area of healing, and
mm-hmm.
and I have some descriptions of the results of, you know, case histories
right,
in the
yeah.
book. And it's called, appropriately enough, Defeat the Enemy Within.
Yeah. I would tell you the lady who had like 32 cosmetic surgeries, if she has breast implants and she needs to come see me for chemical detox, the fibromyalgia, because the chemicals in breast implants cause fibromyalgia as well.
Uh-huh.
You had her down in your book. I want to talk a little bit about soul fragments. You know, in the world of shamanism, a lot of cures are at least partially done, because the shaman goes out and gathers soul fragments, but our listening audience may not know what those are, and I know that they're the similar thing or part of your work.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they're a big part of my work, soul mind fragments. We call them soul mind fragments. The mind seems to have a survival coping mechanism called disassociation, which protects your sanity when you're subject to great trauma. And what happens is it creates a subpersonality frozen in time at the age that the trauma happens, and then puts all of the trauma energy into that subpersonality, and then submerges that subpersonality into the person's subconscious, and their conscious mind doesn't know that it's there.
Right.
And that, so that person is now fragmented, and the energy is working on them that's in there, that's in that that subpersonality, and they don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
And a lot of times that energy goes off and gets onto someone else, and that person to whom it goes to now has that energy on them, but the person who lost part of their soul is fragmented. And
right.
The Native Americans, that's how they treat a lot of illnesses in their people.
Right. If it ever becomes conscious, we call it multiple personality disorder.
Yeah. Well, I guess that you would. But the Native Americans that I worked with, the Cherokee and the Hopi and the Sioux, they tend to, when you get a sick Indian that comes in, the shaman takes some peyote or something and goes into a vision quest and goes out and finds the part of the person's soul that's missing.
Right.
And they heal the soul, they bring it back, integrate it, and the Indian gets up and he's well.
Right.
How do you explain that, you know?
Well, it's energy. I mean,
what they do.
And what I think is so interesting is, like, if somebody has a real hateful thought towards somebody, and unforgiveness, you know, all the idea about forgiveness in healing, if you are really unforgiving, you may send a part of your soul toward that person to harm them, and that's a soul fragment. I mean, that's what that is.
Exactly, it is, and it's actually that's how curses occur.
Yeah, and if you do it with ritual, then it's called a curse. You know, I mean, if you do it in a particular ritual, it's called a curse or voodoo. But people do it all the time, just being because they don't understand that the power of their thought and tied with emotion creates an energetic entity.
Exactly, and if there's venom in that thought or in that projection of that person's soul mind to their to the person that they hate, that venom attracts a demonic energy to it.
Right, and that adds fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire. And in order to, but the person that whose soul mind fragment is now going over is also deprecated because they've lost a part of themselves.
Right, exactly.
So when you try to heal a person that has cursed somebody else, you have to go out and find. We call that soul retrieval, and just like the Indians do. And we find that soul mind fragment, and we get rid of the demonic on it, because you can't bring it back in to the person with the demon on it, and then we bring it back in and integrate it, and the person who lost part of their soul is now feeling better because they're full and complete, and the person, of course, upon whom they projected that is free of the of the
also
curse.
Also feeling better.
And so it's a win-win thing both ways if you can do it.
Right. And it's important to understand that demons are negative thought forms that have never been incarnate. They're not discarnate humans. Well, you tell us what you know about the demons because of your experience with them. And, but they're very attracted to like energy, so you have to be careful.
They are.
That's really why you have to be careful.
I've talked to demons from all over the world. People people come to see me from all over the world.
Right.
And they all say the same thing. They're attracted to the person's light.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. And I ask them what that means, and they say people who can do good on this
right.
planet.
Right. Yeah.
And
make
and
their life
they,
miserable.
their mission and function and purpose. Is that person's destruction.
That's
and
right. That's
when
right.
I ask them what that means, they say they're going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Literally kill them. And
oh my
either
God.
They're going to get, they're going to bring in soul-bind fragments of people that are so sick and so miserable and
right.
so desperate that the person feels all of that and wants relief enough so that they kill themselves or they commit suicide. Or they bring in people with terrible diseases that are terminal, and the person catches it and dies that way. But they tell me that what they're going to do is they're going to kill that person.
And they tried to kill me with a rattlesnake.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a woman one time that came to see me that was in. 7 car accidents in 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That was bad.
And I found a demon on her, and it said it was going to kill her in a car accident. And
yeah.
I got rid of the demon, and the woman never had another car accident after that.
Yep.
Last time I talked to her was
and
about
there's
5
places,
years after the occurrence.
Right. There's places where these demons congregate too, or discarnates actually. And there's accident after accident after accident at that location.
Yeah. Yeah,
we've
that's
seen
right.
that. We've had to clear that with sessions sometimes because they get together, and then together they can cause car wrecks because they can get attached to different drivers and make them not pay attention at just the right minute.
Dr. Kolb, I never understood that you did this kind of work.
Well, I did it because I actually was in a car accident right at where that happened. It was 400 and Holcomb Bridge, and many of my friends who work at the hospitals up there say there's always car wrecks there, and the police said a lot of them are fatal, too. And we were passing a car wreck where the guy was slit, the throat was slit, the cop told me when I had mine, and some lady ran into me. I was in the far lane, and she ran into me. I didn't run into the wall. But I stopped, and she went to the other side of the highway, and she was out in the thunderstorm running up and down, yelling and screaming and cursing me, which I thought was interesting, because whenever somebody does something that they wouldn't normally do for their own self-protection, I think they have a demon on them. I mean, that's my own personal opinion, or something not good on them. Because, normally we wouldn't get out of the car with lightning, okay?
Yeah.
And so she got back in the car and drove off, and that was fine because then I had uninsured motorists. And I had to call the 911 to get me across the highway, though. It was a busy Sunday night, and the police came and blocked the road off and got me off the road. And we went to that Waffle House. And the police said there was a terrible accident just right there. I mean, same place. It was just on the other side of the road. So I was the second accident. And my meditation group was that night, so I went to the meditation group, and we cleared 4 discarnate energies who had been having fun at that location. And I think I should go back to the Roswell police and see if there's a decrease in accidents.
I bet there is.
I haven't seen any there lately, so I drive by there fairly frequently.
That's really
But there was a whole bunch of them. So there are, they do have places that they like to, just like gangs or anything in real life, there's some neighborhoods that you just don't want to go in, in real life. You know, it's just not a good idea. You grew up in one of those neighborhoods, according to your book.
Yeah, I did.
take your shotgun to,
yeah,
to the grocery store with
that,
you.
That these things can get onto you so easily if your psychic defense system, your immune system is down.
Right.
You know, because in that realm, like, mm-hmm, if you're feeling really sad, for instance, that acts like a beacon out there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sad energy that is out there and detects that sad energy in that realm, like energies attract like energies. Fear attracts,
right,
fear. Sadness.
Yeah,
attracts
if I'm
that.
Really sad or if I'm really angry, I always call my support team and get the energy off of me, because I'm neither sad. I mean, I'm not as sad, or am I an angry person normally?
Yeah.
So anything out of the usual, I know that I need to call people to look at, you know, just check me out and see if anything's on there. And there usually is, and they take it off, and I feel fine.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that in the allopathic medicine field, for the past 10 years, I've been giving 3 seminars every summer at the invitation of the Emory Medical School to,
mm-hmm,
the incoming new doctors that,
mm-hmm,
over there. And they just love this stuff when I talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And you would think they'd throw me out, you know,
I think people do understand that there's energies beyond what we see and hear. And a lot of people are developing spiritual sight and hearing, especially now.
Uh-huh.
So they actually are, you know, being able to see the energies that we're talking about with their,
well, it,
you know,
it amazes, it amazes me how many people believe this now. You know, it's almost,
mm-hmm,
like it's mainstream, whereas it used to be kind of the lunatic fringe that believed in this kind of,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, if you talked about demons, you were schizophrenic.
you were,
but, you know,
were,
it's
not
funny. The preachers can talk about demons, and they're not locked up in the psych ward, so what's the deal?
Yeah. But,
I don't understand it. But as a medical doctor, you're not supposed to talk about demons.
Well, I'm surprised when so many people call me about this kind of thing, and,
mm-hmm,
I've been teaching for 14 years, actually more than that, about 17 years,
mm-hmm,
students to do this kind of work, and a lot of psychotherapists and that have been doing, you know, psychotherapy have,
mm-hmm,
totally switched over to doing this kind of work now, and they said they're much more successful now than they ever were before.
Yeah, and you explained it in your book. You said that, you know, reprogramming the subconscious, which is what you need to do, can't,
yeah,
be done if there's demons or these soul-mind fragments.
Right, you got to get all that
effectively
stuff first.
Yeah, so you get rid of that, and then you reprogram the subconscious.
Right.
And that's what you need the hypnotherapy for.
Right. Well, the only way you can get into the subconscious, the only modality that I know of that allows you to have direct access to,
mm-hmm,
the subconscious self is hypnosis, which is,
yeah,
which
I
is
had,
cool, you know.
Yeah, I had the hypnosis one time, and I quit smoking after 20 years, just with,
really,
one hypnotic session. So I was one of the rare ones, but it was great.
Well, it was.
I never wanted to
cigarette
then, again.
Because,
yeah,
you can get a person to stop smoking if it's just a bad habit, if it's in one session easily, but,
mm-hmm,
if it's more deeply rooted than that, like for instance, they're attached by an earthbound spirit or a soul mind fragment of someone that's,
right,
living or dead,
that
was,
right,
a smoker, then you got to deal with that,
mm-hmm,
and that can take a lot more longer than just one session.
And people need to understand that they probably don't need to go to places like real dark bars that have a lot of smokers and drinkers and drug addicts, because if you're a more light being, you'll pick up things at that location.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to certain locations and pick things up that if you just avoided the location, you wouldn't have picked them up.
Right.
So that's, you know,
amazing.
I mean, you have to be
what
a little careful about where you go.
That you, as a medical doctor, that you're in all of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I study with a clairvoyant group. We learned soul rescue, and we learned a lot of the different things that you do. And yeah, we did poltergeist work. It was really, we did this one thing where a poltergeist was turning burners on and throwing knives across the room, and wanted this couple out of the house. And we did it remotely, and when we did what we did, a wind came through the house and then went right up through the group, and then the poltergeist was never active again in that house. So that was interesting to see, hear that wind.
do you deal with poltergeists mostly by remote techniques?
Well, that one we did remotely. I really haven't gone anywhere to try to get ghosts out, you know, like the ghost hunters do.
Yeah, I haven't either. But, well, I have a couple
times.
There's
specialists in that, you know.
But I've never been
people who specialize.
Successful.
Yeah.
I've only been successful when I've done it remotely.
Yeah, right.
I was just
I would do that with a group. I wouldn't try that by myself. I'm not really supposed to do a lot of demon work. You know, that's not, I mean, I know about them, and I sometimes ask for help from other people, and I'll certainly send them to you for help, too, because you can reprogram them. That's great. But you know, my job is to I recognize them. You know, I mean, I know that the person has them, and that needs to be taken care of. But I don't know. They tell me to not engage directly with a lot of negative energy.
Right.
Probably because I get tired. You know, I do really long surgeries, and then they could attach to me. You know, I have to be a little careful. My what is it? Guardian chi can go down.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give some contact information?
Sure. I'm located right here in Peachtree Corners area of Norcross, which is northeast Atlanta, 4012 Spalding Hollow, Norcross, Georgia 30092, and my phone is 770-449-7976. And I've been doing this work now for about 30 years.
Great. Well, you've had two careers, and I loved your book. It was very, very entertaining to hear your life story.
I didn't write it for a therapist. I wrote it for the common, ordinary guy that
you did a great job.
Problems like me.
Well, we've been interviewing Dr. Charles Skillis. Defeat the enemy within. Free yourself of the inner shadows that sabotage and cripple your life. And Dr. Skillis has developed a very comprehensive and effective program for reprogramming the subconscious successfully and getting rid of attachments and things that don't have your best interest in mind. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Michael Murphy, What in the World Are They Spraying? And on the 6th, Jeremy Bennett, Intuitive Strategy Consulting and Training. And then on the 13th, Aurora Julia Ariel, PhD, on Earth 2012, The Ultimate Quest. Then on the 20th, Stanton T. Friedman, Science Was Wrong, and Dr. Bruce Goldberg on Soul Healing on the 27th. Dr. Gould, Brad Gould, will be giving the Noetic Science Meeting on Thursday, August 18th. He will be discussing anti-aging, as well as hormone replacement therapy for men and women. This will be at 7:15 at the Dunwoody office. If you have any questions about that meeting, call 770-457-4677. Well, thank you very much, Charles, for the interview. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and thank you very much. By the way, my website, if anybody's interested, is www.drskillis.com.
Great. You want to spell Skillis for him?
Skillas. It's drskillas.com.
Great. Well, keep up the good work, and I'll probably see you around.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
Pleasure meeting you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Dr. Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.